Let's take our Bibles and turn to the 139th Psalm. We'll read several verses here, and we're moving on to lesson number 9 in Issues of Life Answered from the Bible. This week's lesson is entitled, Is Abortion the Killing of the Unborn? Such a serious, sober topic, yet one that we're going to find is addressed in the Scriptures. And one that, although we've dealt with this as believers for a number of years, I think this is something that we certainly need to address again and again and again and find out what God says on this matter and seek to teach it to our people. In the 139th Psalm, let's begin reading verse 13. The Bible says, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. When we consider the subject of abortion, we need to understand a little bit of the severity of the situation even in our own country. According to reliable statistics, over 43 million unborn children have been aborted since the infamous Supreme Court ruling of in 1973, called Roe versus Wade. If you break this number down, basically that means that about 1.4 million abortions have taken place every year. That's 4,000 every day. That's one child every 20 seconds. According to the Attorney General of the United States, for every two babies born in America, one baby is aborted in this country. This is not something that's done in the dark. This is not something that's light in its magnitude. This is something that is swept across our land, and it's an issue that must be addressed in our lives. What does God's Word say about it? I think just in looking at it, at this subject in general, we understand a few things. I think we understand, first of all, that abortion promotes killing. It promotes killing. When we talk about the murdering of unborn children, some would say, well, we're on a different scale. We're talking about something completely different. But that's not true. Although abortion has seemingly touched nearly everybody in some way through a friend or through a family member or through something like that, although it's touched everyone in some way, we realize in a unique way how it's just touched the entire society because it promotes killing. We say, well, why is murder at an all-time high? Why are homicides at an all-time high in America? Why are all these violent crimes at an all-time high? Why are we leading the world, civilized nations of the world, in these things? There is a connection. There is a connection. Because we've devalued life so much, we're actually promoting killing. People say, well, I'm pro-choice. They're not pro-choice, really they're pro-death. Because abortion, literally, is barbaric behavior. We have given to you in the reading material several of the methods of abortion that are used. And honestly, just to read through them, I'll not take time to go through them in this lesson preview, but just to read through them makes one physically ill just to think about the things that are done in performing these abortions. Again, we'll not even take the time to get into all those. It's just barbaric behavior. It promotes killing. We notice also, just in considering the subject, that it promotes child abuse. Early on, they said, well, if we institute abortion, then we'll have less child abuse because these children that were, quote-unquote, accidents, these children that people did not want, they'll be taken care of before they enter this world, and then we won't have so much child abuse. But exactly the opposite is taking place. We have devalued life to such a degree that child abuse is at an all-time high. It hasn't solved the problem at all. It's actually strengthened this problem that we have to deal with in child abuse in American homes. People still say again, well, we're pro-choice. Really, it's actually instigated more child abuse. Not that we don't believe a woman has a choice, but that choice should be made before conception, not after conception. So it promotes killing, it promotes child abuse, and of course it just devalues life. We have, of course, the blood stains of millions of babies on our hands. And as a nation, this is a great sin. People are not breaking necessarily the law of the land, but they're breaking the law of God. And that has a tremendous effect on the morality of our nation and on the blessing of God that can come to us as a people. We've devalued life through it. And really, when we think about our own lives as believers and we think about how we're supposed to respond to this as Christians, we have to recognize that the great sin is not just what's taking place in abortion clinics somewhere, in a hospital somewhere. The great sin is that believers refuse to take a stand where God wants them to take a stand, refuse to lift their voice, and they're sitting back in indifference, just absolutely indifferent about what's going wrong. Let's consider a few things, if we can, from God's Word about this issue. First of all, I want you to consider with me that life begins with conception. Back in the 139th Psalm, verse 13, you'll notice the little expression, as the psalmist pins these words here, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." In my mother's womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." I think it's clear from Scripture, very clear, that life begins with conception. Not at physical birth, but at conception. Life exists within the womb of that mother. In fact, when we study things out as far as our anatomy is concerned, we understand that at conception, literally a one-cell life is developed. There are 46 chromosomes in that one cell, 23 from the mother and 23 from the father. And aside from nourishment and nourishment of that cell from the mother, really aside from that, that life is independent of father and mother. It is a one-cell life, and all that it remains is development. Life begins right there at conception. This is where God recognizes it, even saying in Jeremiah chapter 1 that he knew Jeremiah in the womb. You can't know someone who doesn't exist. That's because he did exist. Life was there, even within the womb. God recognizes it, and we need to recognize it as believers. There cannot be any room for doubt about this. Life begins at the moment of conception. Secondly, we want to consider this, that conception is a gift from God. Conception is a gift from God. The ability to reproduce, the ability to bear children and to have children, is always recognized in the Bible as a gift from God. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, God gave conception to Eve. And she said in Genesis 4, 1, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She didn't say, "I've gotten a man from Adam, from my husband." She said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Why? She recognized that conception was a gift from God. This was a gift of God from in heaven above to her. The Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now, I want you to think about this. If conception is a gift from God, if the ability to reproduce, to bear children, is something that God gives. And, of course, we understand that conception itself is a miracle, and it's a miracle of God. If that is true, and it is, I want you to think about how accountable those are who take the lives of these little children. The Supreme Court of the United States has said that has made it law that anywhere in this country, for any reason or sometimes for no reason at all, one can take the life of an unborn child. But life is a gift from God. And I want you to think about how accountable people are for taking that life that is a gift from God. God will not hold them guiltless. God will not hold them guiltless. And we need to remember that. Life begins with conception. Conception is a gift from God. And I want you to think about this. Thirdly, we need to stand where God stands on this issue. Now, as on every issue, this must be our plea. What does God's Word say? Where does God stand? And we have to take our stand with Him. Emotions may come in, feelings may play in, but the important thing is, what does God's Word say? In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul said that he had not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. And we need to declare the whole counsel of God. And when God's word addresses even this issue, it gives us insight on this issue. We need to stand where God stands. We really have not stood as believers. We really have not stood up against an unbelieving world like we should. It's almost as if after now 30 years or so of this law being passed in our land, it's almost as if believers have become more and more insensitive to it. It's almost as if we've become more and more acceptive of this practice. It's almost as if it's not as bad as it used to be when things were first passed. But friends, it's the same practice. It's the same murder that it was 30 years ago. And we have to stand where God stands on the issue. One of the great sins is not that our nation is doing this. That's what you would expect out of lost people. That's what you expect out of the world. The great sin is that believers are not willing just to stand where God stands on the issue and to declare this is what God's word says. This is what the scriptures give us. We have to raise our voice. Of course, the greatest work we can do is in winning others to Christ and teaching them God's word so they can believe in their hearts that this is the position that ought to be held because it's the truth. It's the word of God. We know, those of us particularly in the ministry, but we know, those who have been living any length of time at all, that we live in a nation that's filled with awful guilt. Not just mothers, but people in the medical profession and others who've been involved in this sin of abortion. We lived in a nation that's filled with guilt. And often people were maybe in such a situation emotionally that this is something they turn to. And the Lord knows that there's forgiveness with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's cleansing in the Lord Jesus. But so many people have never heard that. So many people are still away from Christ. The great work we can do is in winning people to Christ and then teach them this is the truth of God's word. And God himself is the only one who can remove that guilt. This is the day of antidepressants, and this is the day of people needing medications just to help them sleep at night. Those type of psychological medications are being prescribed at an all-time high. Why do you think it is? Because we have a nation riddled with guilt. Teenagers even, young mothers and young women riddled with guilt because this is entering their life. And you know, only Jesus Christ can deliver from that. People are losing their minds, literally, because the guilt of abortion is so heavy in their heart. They seem to not be able to get rid of it at all. But Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ can cleanse and he can forgive. And we need to take that message out. Let's stand where God stands. This is taking place in our country, and as God's people, we just need to wake up. We need to wake up. We're asleep. We're acting like it's not going on. We're acting like nothing's taking place. But we need to wake and rise up to what God would have us to do. We need to pray for our nation. Pray that God would help us as believers to declare, thus saith the Lord. Is abortion the killing of the unborn? It certainly is. It certainly is. And may God help our nation. May God help the believers in this country to stand firm on the word of God on this issue. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach this week in Sunday school. Bless every teacher as they take it forth. Help them, Lord, to have this conviction in their own heart and be able to communicate it clearly from thy word. Lord, touch and bless in our nation. Give us a real revival. We know that begins in the church house. Help us to be revived. Help us to be awakened to the tremendous need, even thinking about the millions and millions of murders that have taken place in our own land. Father, certainly we're headed for judgment. Certainly it's already on the way. It's already here. We pray for mercy in the midst of that, that we might be able to win souls and see a reviving before Christ comes again. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.